Our next guest, Chris Nowinski, is the executive director of the Concussion Legacy Foundation, and he joins us. Chris, good of you to take time for us today. What happened here? What happened, in your opinion? How did this one fall through the cracks?
I think this one's pretty cut and dry. I mean, nobody can say they didn't see him showing very obvious signs of concussion that would require he comes out and definitely not go back into the same game. The issue was, it was the last drive of the game, and no one wanted to be the guy to pull him out. It's a lack of training. It's a lack of consequences. The coaches should have known. Every medical person on the sideline watching the game or in the skybox, I mean, everybody knew, but no one stepped up and protected this poor young man and left him out there with a serious brain injury.
So the question becomes, who is responsible for ultimately making that decision? To leave it to the coaching staff would be a terrible miscarriage of potential justice. So that's why they have people there, supposedly independent people, medically trained, to watch for these things and to make determinations. Who blew this?
So, I mean, again, it's tough to say we're going to blame the spotter in the skybox who's never in his life actually stopped the game, but that is their job. So this newly assigned person that was going to fix all the embarrassing problems for the NFL blew their job. The independent person on the sideline is not usually used to pull people out, so it's the team medical staff there. The team medical staff is supposed to be the one to actually actively pull people out, so they blew their job there. And frankly, the coaches didn't do their job because someone needs to wake these coaches up and tell them, if you've got a quarterback with a brain injury, it's a coin flip on which team he's going to throw the next ball to, and you're going to lose if you leave him in, but apparently they're not even trained on that.
You know what? It's interesting. If we're talking about a boxing match here, who's responsible for stopping it?
Well, there's a doctor at ringside.
But referee.
Referee, but a doctor at ringside can't stop a fight.
But in this case, and I don't know, I'm not familiar enough with the rules, is there any role for the referee who's obviously looking at this guy?
No, that's a great point. Yeah, you're right. That's another person we can blame. The referee's job in this situation is to send that player to the sideline for at least one play.
Right. At minimum.
Okay, so now this has happened, Chris.
So everybody's to blame.
All right. This has happened. What does the league do? What is their responsibility now, 2 days later, to make sure that this kind of thing doesn't happen again? Is there a fine that's appropriate? Do they have the ability to do that? And who ultimately must take responsibility for this action?
Well, I mean, if the NFL has the ability to fine players for having charitable causes on their helmets that aren't the right charitable cause for the NFL, I mean, the NFL should fine the team. I mean, the National Rugby League in Australia actually fines teams $10,000 or $20,000 if they don't follow the protocol.
That's right.
Build a symptom on the field. I don't know if they can do that with the collective bargaining agreement. I don't really care. There needs to be consequences or else the players are going to be put at risk. The other question, though, becomes like how big of a fine would be meaningful for a team, right, who's just trying to win. I don't know if there's a fine that's meaningful enough. I think we need to also consider, like, medical. There should be punishment to medical staff. Like, if you're not watching the game, watching the players, like, you shouldn't do that job.
It's funny, you know, you were talking about this right at the beginning, and you said to protect a young man who had suffered a brain injury. And to me, that remains one of the issues. And I know it's just words, but we sit here and we talk about concussions. Has he got a concussion? Once you say that guy might have a brain injury, then all of us would go, whoa, 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 whoa. But we still, I think, that word itself, concussion, doesn't seem
it
to...
It doesn't resonate the way brain injury does.
Right, it doesn't raise the alarm of actually what's going on, Chris.
Yeah.
That's a great point. There are actual studies that will show that if you tell a parent, instead of saying your kid just had a concussion, you tell them they had a brain injury, the parent will actually hold the child out of sports longer and take it far more seriously. And so that is a goal. I mean, we try to use the word brain injury so that people do appreciate this is not just some fancy word that now is synonymous with football. This is something that is more of a hospital type of issue.
The head athletic trainer, Reggie Scott, seeing Keenum struggle, went on to the field as the officials were marking off the penalty on the play against the Ravens. He said he questioned Case. Case said he felt okay, and so the trainer went to the sidelines. It was not an issue of, you know, the guy was distracted, he didn't see it. He saw it, reacted, and then allowed the quarterback to talk him out of taking him out of the game. That's a far worse offense to me than, you know, he was paying attention to somebody else on the sidelines, isn't it?
You're absolutely right. I mean, there's just nothing you can say in that situation other than the guy. I mean, he was faced with a choice. He was faced with, if he pulled the guy out in the last series of the game and the team lost, he very well could lose his job, and probably would have. I've seen athletic trainers fired mid-season and at least in Division I football programs for being too aggressive on concussions. So he chose his job, over this poor kid. Well, his job is to protect the kid.
You know,
there's no excuse.
You said before, I don't know how big any fine would have to be to impact. But we do know that when it came to other things, Deflategate, I mean, uninflated footballs.
Yeah.
Or what happened to the
million-dollar fine and a four-game suspension.
Or what happened to the New Orleans Saints a few years ago, remember, with their whole
coach
thing?
Coach got kicked out.
And if they were, Chris, to take really strong action, take away a first-round draft pick, suspend the coaching staff for the rest of the year, some really strong, you could end this problem this week.
Yes, I don't disagree with you, Damien, but what I'm confused about is who has the ultimate responsibility? This league has a guy, a spotter, up in the booth who is supposed to be an independent, who is supposed to watch all the plays, and his sole job, to the best of my understanding, is to make a determination, presumably based on some education he's received, as to whether a player, like the quarterback in this case, like Keenum, should be taken out of the game. This guy apparently informed the St. Louis bench to take the quarterback out, but not until after they had lost the ball. And the series was over and the quarterback was already on the bench. What kind of a system do they have in place that does not allow that spotter to make an instantaneous response?
We've known for a long time the NFL really doesn't want to be that serious about concussions.
Chris, do you agree?
Yeah, no, I would agree with that. I mean, it's supposedly an instantaneous system. That's what they've said. But you're right. I mean, the NFL doesn't. You know, the teams in the NFL don't want to lose control. I mean, if this was a higher profile game, and if this was Tom Brady in the Super Bowl, like it's the league's worst nightmare that a doctor would pull him out in the last series. Like, oh, what a tragedy. They have to go to the backup, and it wouldn't let have things unfold naturally. I mean, that's what we're fighting against. It's like crazy idea that you can't let a doctor interfere with a football game.
Wow.
Well, I mean, the best line I saw today was the NFL views concussions as a public relations problem, not a health problem.
Yeah. Well, it appears
the dirty secret here is that we're going to all talk about the medical ethics of this, right? And how, you know, it is a terrible mistake. It's not following the protocol. Everyone's a hypocrite. But then on the other side of this, like the reality is if you look at the numbers, you interview the players, you know there's more concussions on the field during the season than the game would allow it to be sustainable. Right? You have plenty of, I mean, we just published one, a former graduate students of ours saying, in college football, which is both similar to the professionals, but you wouldn't get this sort of access. For every one time players were diagnosed with concussion, there were 27 other times they had the exact same symptoms and never said anything.
Wow.
They were diagnosed.
Wow.
Those are the real numbers, which, again, you do the research, they are. There's just too many concussions for the game to be sustainable. So if people got really good at diagnosing concussions, you'd run out of players. And everyone knows that who's on the inside.
Chris, all we can do is talk about it and hopefully put pressure on these sports, these leagues, these teams to govern themselves or conduct themselves more seriously. Thank you very much for your time today. We greatly appreciate it.
Thanks for talking about the issue. I'll do it again with you soon.